Welcome everybody to Overdunk episode 14. My name is Joshua Zoinks Hebert with Unite Mics, and this is Overdunk, the competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. I sit down with the top teams, talk all things tournament, meta, and just the scene in general right now. And today we have a fantastic opportunity to be talking to the best team in OCE right now, all the way in the past. I think it's since launch, I'll say that. No factual behind that. But this team has been absolutely killing it and recently just had a name change for a very exciting reason. We got a new sponsorship in the scene. Say hello to Ground Zero. What's up, guys?
What up?
Yo. Hey, man.
Hello. What's up?
Welcome to the show. Now, I know most of you guys, like on the show, especially chat and stuff, these guys know who you are. But just for the listeners, if they're listening in podcast land, I'd love to just get a quick introduction of everybody. So if we could just go around quick at who you are, what people might know you from, and then what role you play for Ground Zero. Lush, let's start with you. You're right below me.
Okay. I'm Lush. You will not know me from anywhere. I am no one. I play the Wigglytuff, okay. the pink Pokemon. I'm the tank for the team. I save them. I save their lives.
Absolutely. Okay. All right. Awesome. The tank savior of Lush, the man of mystery as well. Joe, how about you go next?
Well, I'm just Joe, man. As everyone would know, I play the green Digimon Pokemon as an attacker in the tournament, and people know me through. Everyone knows me through everywhere, dude. I don't know.
No, it's all good.
Just know me, man.
You're well known. All right, Feather, how about you?
Hello. So I'm Feather, or people call me Andy. I guess. So I guess I've got some Andy friends that would know me before. I play on an Andy team before with Sulawoo. I currently play top laner for now. I'm no idea what I'll be playing for next tournament, so yeah.
All right, gotcha. We'll refer to the rest of the team on that one. Sounds good. Don, how about you go next?
G'day, my name's Don. I play support. You guys might know me from me being a mediocre Overwatch player. Other than that, no one have any idea.
And what role do you play for the team, Don?
Support.
Okay, awesome. And then Sulawoo, round us out.
Yo, guys, I'm Sulawoo. I stream on Twitch. I play jungler for these guys. I get carried every game. Great experience.
Wow, way to fall on your own sword, but awesome. Sulawoo, the jungler for this squad. Awesome, guys. Well, like I mentioned at the top of the show, you were once called Owl Gaming, but recently just got to pick up for Ground Zero. So congrats on that. Congrats on the February finals win. We got a lot to talk about this in this show. So I want to get right into it. But before we go any further, I'd love to just discuss the formation of Ground Zero. How did you guys become a stack playing together? Did you guys know each other previously? Found each other through ladder, discords? How'd this team inception begin?
Oh, this is a bunch of fun.
Yeah,
this is a bunch of fun.
I'm legit the best recruiter. Like, dude, I'm not gonna lie. I'm the Tom Brady of recruiting.
All right.
Any NA fans, 100% know this. Okay, so Lush playing Crashy, find him on Twitter, send him DMs, like about September last year. Ready, signed. Sign now. Look at that. Don, Seth, find this guy in solo queue a little bit after. I'm a Garchomp one trick. Okay. I was molding really bad that day. He played well in support, and I was like, okay, cool, nice. So we grab him as well. I've been playing Feather since day one. I thought he was really bad day one. Day two, he was like, okay, like, this guy's a lot better. Day three, everyone else left the game. Like, okay, I guess it's just me and him. So it's been like that since. And then Joe, we found him through Nuggy, queued into him a few times. I was like, eh, this is mad. We took a little bit of a break, came back. Joe's like a superstar.
Wow.
So, you know, obvious pickup. And then bang, there's a team there. There's a super team there, yeah.
Had like, the and money just, ball just... of Pokemon Unite, yeah, that's impressive. I love
we're
it.
We're seeing it come together, you know? It's quite a beautiful thing.
A lot of very similar stories for each player. They were bad and then they were good. Some hyperbolic time chamber going on in OCE.
I was never bad!
I even Okay. Awesome. Well, nice. Guys, I want to. I love that. That's how you formed today, Sulu. A little bit of the quarterback of Tom Brady, if you will, of signing players. Great. We'll give you that title, Sulu. Let's talk about the signing, though. You guys were going as Owl Gaming for a while. That's the name you ran under in the first February opens and finals, of course. And now you're currently under the name Ground Zero. Guys, talk to me about this signing. How the sponsorship come to be, and what does this sort of mean for the team? Like, I'm not asking, like, your salaries, but I'm just curious, like, what kind of support are they lending the team when it comes to playing Pokemon Unite?
Who was I could take this, I guess, yeah? Yeah, I guess it's okay. I'm sorry, I just wanted you guys to speak. All right, so basically, I think the guys from Ground Zero all have a passion for this game. They all play, and they are, I think through that, they decided they want to try and invest into esports, and I think they saw the Worlds get announced, and then the one guy, Sheep, he literally showed up in like the OS Discord and was like, yo, who's the best players? And then, you know, had to chat to Sulu and Burby. And yeah, I don't know, from that we just, you know, did what we did. They're giving us heaps of support in terms of, you know, exposure and potential boot camps and stuff. Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. Cool. Yeah.
They've been great.
Awesome. Yeah, I've heard nothing but good things, especially to talk with you guys before the show and just anything I've seen on like the internet and everything. Ground Zero seems to be a really awesome org, so I'm really happy that your team found such a welcoming and awesome home. Really excited to see where you guys can go with this brand name too. For all of you, I know Don, I know you've played some competitive gaming before. Have any of you guys played like to the competitive level where you're playing for a team? Something like that?
No.
Yeah, no, okay, awesome. So this is the first thing for a lot of you guys. That's awesome. You get your own jerseys and everything. You did it, Mom. You get to play video games for money. That's awesome. So I'm really, really excited for you guys.
It's all about making the money. That is what life is about.
Absolutely. Well, it's what makes the world tick a little bit, right? But let's find out what makes your team tick. I nailed that one. Guys, I love asking these questions of every team that we get. I like getting to know a little bit about what the personalities on your squad, how the team sort of functions a little bit, not just in-game, but a little bit of the out-of-game stuff. And I think the first question is always the most important one. It's the biggest indicator of how teams operate. Who's the biggest inter on Ground Zero?
Do you get this on, like, three? Yeah? Once? Yeah?
Yeah.
One,
yeah.
Two, three?
Sulu. I'm sorry I run down.
Okay, all right. So, yes. Sulu, you have quite a bit of confidence, it seems, heading down in lane. But that's great. It sounds like your team has all acknowledged it, so at least the problem is out in the open, and we can talk about it.
We prepare for it.
Exactly. That's right. This is not an episode of Overdunk. This is the inting intervention, Sulu. Welcome. All your friends messaging me that we need to be on here.
we need to talk about the tactical inting.
Yes.
Definitely. We can weaponize it, which is a good thing.
Yes. Absolutely. No, from every chance I've got being able to cast your guys' games, spectate, just watch as a viewer, the aggressiveness of Ground Zero is a blast to watch, but it also seems to pay dividends. You guys are working with that style. It's great. There is some inting a little bit, Sulu, but other than that, you guys are great. Sulu, we've gone pretty hard on you for the last minute or so. I want to give you the chance to answer this question specifically. I like to ask this to you because there's always this one diamond in the rough, but who's the low-key carry of your team that just doesn't often get credit?
I think, you know, it's really hard to give some other roles credit because when you look at overall screen, you got damage, and then there's basically everyone looks at. And then you got score, maybe. And then, like, so you'll think, okay, Lucario, and then maybe Cinderace, or like, those characters. Mm-hmm. But I want to give a big shout-out to our support player. I think we all agree that Don just really puts in secret work. Like it's not noticeable sometimes, and like you wouldn't notice unless he told you what he's doing. But yeah, like you know, there's like little things like calling out like what happens in the game in like a minute detail, like for example, like if he has blind up with Eldegoss and he blinds a Garchomp, we're like, okay, go in Garchomp, makes sense, logical move,
yeah,
kills Garchomp, defeats the other team, bang, like, and then that little shot call changes an entire game. So yeah, secret carry, huge player, He's really huge. He's 6'8".
Hey. Yeah, stand up for us.
Dawn intimidating in and out of game. Yeah. Yeah. Dawn's got the face reveal. It's not standing up. Let's go. All right, guys. I'd like to ask this final one, too, to get to know a bit more of your squad. Who's, like, I phrase it as who's got the best vibes on the team, but also who's the funniest player on the team? Another way to look at this question is if you guys are maybe a little tilted, game's not going your way, who's the player that can kind of reset the mental, tell a fun joke, get your heads on straight? Who is it?
Go on, Joe.
Yeah, well, so apparently
it's
yeah. No, Joe said it.
For sure.
Just hit them. As you can see, it's me.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say
I say the stupidest shit. And
okay, fair enough.
And I often tilt the boys, but then I bring them back.
No, that's good. Yes. No, that's important. If you can control the negative and positive of the team, that makes you a very important player. You got to control the mental flow. That's awesome. Okay, well, guys, thank you so much for giving me an opportunity to see a little bit more of your squad, how you guys came together. I'm really excited. Ground Zero's got a cool history in the game so far. You guys are well known, not just in your region, abroad. I mean, I'm an NA caster and I'm talking to you guys, so clearly your branding's working, your personalities are working, you're a super fun team to follow. But you guys have also been met with your fair amount of success. Notably, your February finals run was huge. You guys had a pretty short qualifier tournament, the Open Tournament, you know. Didn't have to move through too much, just a couple of games. But then in that top 16 tournament, you guys had a fantastic run. You didn't drop down to loser's bracket once, went all the way there, played some really interesting picks, got a lot of people's attention. I saw some Charizard top lane. It was a lot of fun to watch, honestly. Guys, talk to me about your February finals run. I mean, I've talked about so many February finals games. It's starting to become more and more in the past with the March Open qualifiers starting up this weekend. So we're not going to do a whole bracket rundown. But talk to me about that run. How much prep did you guys put in? What kind of games were you guys looking at? Just talk to me about that run.
I can give this one to Andy.
Yeah. If you want. Andy.
Okay, right. Dom. So I guess one strategy we had for the tournament was playing Chaos at top. So we thought about, so if you people were watching Western team, how they play the 1-1-3 strategy, they usually have Lucario top or Machamp top, and everyone can probably agree that Lucario is probably better Machamp for the early game, for the first 2 minutes of the game. But we were like, why do we have to play Lucario? Lucario is so bad. Late game, it doesn't offer much. Mm-hmm. Even mid game, his Unite move is not the best. True. And then he then falls off. As every Pokemon get their Unite move unlocked, and then they get more level to get their better move plus unlocked, Lucario just falls off. So we're like, Charizard got a very sick Unite move. It's their way to put Charizard in our composition without putting it in the jungle. So we thought about Attacker. That's not going to work. You're going to get bullied very hard by Pikachu and Venusaur. So we thought about top lane. Well, what is conceding top lane a viable strategy? As we all know, like top lane doesn't have as much experience as the bottom lane. So we thought about put Charizard there and just getting anything you can farm. You might be a bit behind compared to the Lucario, but like in the long run, we think it will be better. After Charizard unlocked a Unite move, you have better Zapdos fight, better second Dreadnought fight, and that would mean that we win the game, right? Because the game is always going to be 10 minutes. There's no way to make the game shorter than 10 minutes. They're always going to be that Zapdos fight. Right. Unless you make the enemy team surrender somehow. That's probably the only way you can make the game end early, right? Otherwise, they're always a 2-minute fight where everyone's at level 13 around that level, and then you have broader, pretty much. Okay. So we thought, we just pick the best character for our team fighting. And then to surround that, right? So I think you probably saw that we picked Timeframe Jungle to accompany the Charizard pick. So both of these are not the best laner, I would say, not a laner, but best Pokemon at the level 5 skirmish at up top.
Okay.
Up the first gang. So it's not the best, but we kind of give it early. But as soon as Timeframe unlocked level 7,
right?
He will be, it's very strong. He'll be able to pretty much hold off the Dreadnought for a bit before Charmeleon get level 7, we come down and then we can have a proper fight. So that's how, so we pretty much give out a lot of early game by playing like two really weak Pokemon in terms of Charizard at top and Venus at bottom.
Okay.
It's a trade-off. It's like a trade-off of a weaker early game, but then we've got more comeback potential. Okay. We've got stronger late game. That's how we pretty much got the strategy.
Yeah, no, thank you so much. That breakdown is really, really interesting. I think that was a big question mark around your team was this kind of weirdo pick, but I think the logic really does pay off, right? You're trading off a little bit of that early game, pushing for that late game win. I actually, about this comp though, I wanted to talk to your bot laners a little bit. For you, Don, Lush, and Joe, when you have this late scaling composition like this, running Venusaur and Charizard, both Pokemon that really need to get value later on in the game, what do you do about your game to try to circumvent those issues early game? Is it all damage control, or are you still able to find a way to win early game, in quotes?
Essentially in the bot lane, right? Like I make it my goal to try to starve them as much as possible.
Okay.
Like I feel like if I die but they don't get any farm, that's good. Okay. You know, so I just run them down and then Don is just my hero and savior in the back. They just make sure that I get out of these situations I should never ever get out of. And
okay.
Joe will usually be somehow killing everyone at level 3 while in bed. I don't know how.
You kill people. That's how I play the game. I don't know. Like, people think it's hard.
This guy is legit going to rock up the world.
There's something wrong with your brain or something. No offense.
Right. Joe's game plan is just knock out the opposing Pokemon forehead.
It's very... You can't argue with it. It's
very straightforward game plan. But so far, it's found you guys a ton of success. So, like we said, you guys cruise through the bracket, able to win your grand final situation. Was this this Charizard top pick, did you play this every game throughout the entire tournament?
We actually did. We probably have two pick in mind.
He can flex. Charizard.
We also practiced with a champ, but then it was either Lucario or Charizard for the tournament.
That would have really shocked the world if we picked Lucario.
Absolutely stunning. Yeah. My question is though, if you practice all these other picks, was it on the day of? Was it just this is the best comp that we are good at? This is what is strongest for us, or were you kind of keeping Lucario as like, if we go up against this team specifically, we know we'll need to play Lucario. Or if we go up against this comp.
So our thought process was I think against a lot of team, we pretty much won everything in game one, except maybe one series.
Okay.
That we lost game one. So we're like, okay, if they're working, then we'll just play through the series. Like, don't change anything. Don't let it affect our mental, even if we lose game two. That's what we're going through in our head. In terms of matchup, I think pretty much everyone played Lucario except one team that chose to play Garchomp and Machamp top.
Okay.
And which is actually a fine matchup for Charizard because I don't get punished as hard compared to versus Lucario.
I swapped. Yeah. That game I swapped off Talon, Tigger, Ninja. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Can I throw a question back? A question back at you real quick. What was it like to watch a finals with no Lucario top lane on either team?
I'm trying to think. Miracle comes to mind. No, in all honesty, it was so interesting to see that pick. I mean, the Charizard was flashy, of course, but not seeing Lucario is always interesting because it's been a mainstay pick for so long. Whenever I see it, my mind immediately goes to, okay, we're probably going to get a lot less team fights. We're going to get more skirmishes across the board, right? We're going to get more scrappy. Mm-hmm. But with your team comp, that's almost the opposite, actually. Like, when it hits that late game, you guys are a pack of wolves that moves around the map just looking and finding these really awesome team fights. So it's a really fun series to watch for sure. If you guys haven't seen that game, go back, find it on YouTube. You know, go look at the Twitch VODs. It's worth a watch for sure. It's fantastic. Awesome. Cool. So guys, you were able to take the win. You're now number one in OCE. And I want to talk about the region itself a little bit. So it is definitely a smaller region. Like, your open qualifiers had one of those smaller amounts of players compared to the the other tournaments, right? It was a quick little tournament to get into that top 16. But, I mean, having top 16 across all the tournaments in the world kind of circumvents that problem a little bit to enter into that finals. But talk to me about your scene a little bit. You guys are number one. Are there any other teams in your scene that you guys really respect? Any scrim partners that you have on the regular that you compete against in OCE? Or are you mostly looking abroad to try to find players to scrim with?
I think I'd say we respect everyone we play against, obviously. Right? I mean, they, especially in that tournament, they all showed up. They definitely showed up and played well.
Oh, yeah. And, you guys didn't have really any free games from when I was all the ones I got to spectate. Like, you definitely had to work for the wins. Yeah. So.
Yeah, they definitely played well. And I would say, Sulu, you were kind of our scrim finder. So you want to take this?
Oh, yes. I mean, like, look. So in OC, we have some people who scrim. We have like a... We had a sister team initially, and
Team Egg getting a lot of hype in chat right now. I don't know if that's
Team Egg is great as well. Okay. They're really sweet and they're great people as well. And so we're looking to scrim them actually pretty recent, pretty new.
Cool.
So they're great. We also do scrims of our leftovers, like. Yes,
our leftovers.
I guess you as the scouting guy can call them that, but okay.
they call themselves that. No.
All right.
It's not bad, but so that's probably our main two right now. Okay. We're looking for more. Like, we took a little bit of a break. We had Don came down to where we all are, Sydney.
Okay.
And we had like a bit of a party when we were here, so we enjoyed ourselves. Had some time. So practice has just kicked up again, and then we're looking for more scrim partners. On the day of the tournament, we did scrim leftovers like two games.
Okay.
And I think that got us in the right mentality and the right attitude, and I think that's why we probably had cleaner games against them than anyone else, because I think we gave them more respect in regards to like playing with the Dragonite and playing around how they played.
Yeah.
So so scrim partners, OC. I think definitely all the top four teams have like a talent and ability to like win any game possible. So we have a lot of respect, and we're never going to slack off when it comes to those games.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely not. And I would not count your team to be doing that. You seem to be a team that is definitely taking this game seriously. I mean, you have to have a little bit of a party, which is awesome. Let's face it, you earned it. But now the grind has kind of started to set in for people, I think. We've had the first big tournament, and we have quite a few more to go through before we get to Worlds. And right now, you are sitting on, I couldn't think of the throne from Game of Thrones. The throne of blades, I think. I don't know. It was a terrible analogy. Iron Throne. You guys.
Nerd here.
Right. Yeah. it was rough. I just said what I pictured. Terrible casting decision, by the way. But you guys are top team in the region. That can come with its pros and cons. I was talking to Indie Bear recently, and I was just talking with him a little bit. We were talking about when you are the number one place team in a region at any given moment, you are always going to be getting your opponent's best, no matter what. Like, they are going to want to beat you every single time they play you. No one's going to be slacking off when they're going up against Ground Zero, probably whether it be in ladder or even whether it be in tournament play. Has that kind of set in yet? I know we don't have the next tournament up, but is this March tournament something that you think you're gonna have to take more seriously than you even took the February one?
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
I think personally we have like the biggest target in our back. I think maybe before you could probably say, oh look, like they're not that good, but then everyone lost. now we have to prove that these teams all have something to prove, and when you're at the top, you always have the most to lose. You gain a lot from losing, but you have the most to lose, because then they ask if you're washed up, they ask if you're gonna win, if you're gonna go to Worlds, especially in a one slot region. Like everyone wants to win. This is really competitive. I think people are starting to wake up to that fact now that maybe we weren't up to that skill level now, but now we're going to go on for hours and hours at it. We're going to figure it out. We're going to find out the weaknesses, and we're going to try to exploit them. And I think we're coming to terms with that. Anyone else?
Yeah. I think they're going to change their strategy, you know, because they they see now that Sulu's free, so they've got to kill the tank so they can get, like, you know, the rest of the team.
Right.
Yeah, I think it took them a while to figure out I was free. They keep killing me every game, man. Like, it's okay. I will die anyway.
Yeah. Sulu was just grinning on the way back to the respawn chamber. It's like, you achieved nothing, you fools. Well, the greatest prestige play, for sure. Okay, awesome. The rest of you guys, how does it feel to be number one, though? Is it feel like you've really achieved it? Does this feel fantastic, or is it a little bit worrisome that some teams are going to start trying to build their tactics specifically around beating you?
I like to still consider us the underdogs.
Oh, really?
I like to do that in for my mental. You know, okay. I like to consider us the underdogs. makes me feel better.
Ah, sure.
But yeah, I think we can see that a lot of the teams are, like, working a lot harder now.
Yeah.
And it feels like they're coming after us. You know, and which is good, though, because that makes us step up and us become better. Mm-hmm. And awesome. More competitive. And I know Don was talking about how he feels a lot better now being rank one, right, Don? It's changed your life.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, I'm a different guy. What can I say? I'm letting it get to my head, you know?
Don woke up at 6 a.m. yeah. this morning, brewed some tea. He's feeling amazing. That's fantastic. Awesome. Well, guys, actually, let's talk about that a little bit, though. The scene improving. Iron sharpens iron, right? I actually nailed one analogy on this show. These teams are going to be becoming more and more competitive. Do you think that OCE, as a scene, we talked about it being a little bit smaller. Do you think it's growing right now? With this mm-hmm. road to Worlds, after this yeah. first tournament, do you think that this March one is actually going to be bigger in size and, of course, yeah. because more competitive?
Yeah, we've noticed way more stacks.
Really?
In ranked, yeah. if nothing else. Yeah, I mean, we still get dodged a lot, we feel.
But
either that or our rank is too high to get people. Yeah. Okay. Either or, like, it's
subtle flex.
But yeah, what can I say? Suffering from success. But yeah, no, there's a lot more people.
He is a new man.
There's a lot more people we can, like, yeah, we've seen with matching names and, you know, giving their best, playing, like, the meta comp.
Okay.
We're just, like, trying stupid shit, like, trying to figure mm-hmm. out the meta. They're playing, like, you know, what
they play like the hard time,
like in the finals, and yeah, but
oh, okay.
You know, it's good. Yeah, it's good 100%. To see everyone trying. I like to be honest, and they're getting yeah. better. It's good. Like
yeah,
yeah. We have to actually focus. We can't just win, turn our brains off, and just hit them. You know, we have to, like, actually think now. It's good.
Yeah, no, that is super. That's super incredibly important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, guys.
Joe, you want to talk about that, Joe? Get some Joe words.
What do you want me to say? Everyone's amazing.
Joe's Academy, it's working.
All the people in this Unite community support every single person here in Australia. So
yeah.
I can't complain, man. I'm just happy we have people that want to play the game.
That's
no,
awesome.
Yeah.
I just love vesting people. It's just very fun vesting people and getting to see, like, how they play it.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait until Joe's speech after you guys win Worlds. He's standing up there giving all the shout outs to the entire region. All the people he's playing with on ladder. It's going to be beautiful. I can't wait. I'm going to cry myself
actually,
to sleep that
are you
night.
Ready? How did you know I was going to do that?
I just no know way. You, Joe, now. Knowing
he knows
you.
Me. Oh my god. Meant to be.
Exactly. Well, Manifest Destiny, right? You guys have a good first step on the way there, though. You had some fantastic games. You guys are forming together really well as a squad. But the game is starting to change. Let's transition into a little bit of, like, Pokemon Unite specific game. We are finding ourselves in I will call it a completely new meta. We've seen a little bit of backpedaling into some more traditional picks, but Hoopa's here and has definitely shifted the meta quite a bit. A lot of people's initial reactions were this Pokemon is OP, must pick all the time. People have started to shift a little bit. I see some teams not running at all, some teams sticking to the portal comp, some people's moving into the trick Shadow Ball, playing the Pokemon as an attacker, playing two supports, two tanks. I've seen it all. Right now, we are in a complete meta mix-up. I think a lot of top teams not streaming scrims could be definitely some to blame for, like, a meta not being solidified. But guys, talk to me about this new meta. First off, talk to me about Hoopa. Let's go with that first. Do you guys love Hoopa? Do you hate Hoopa? What are our opinions on this new Pokemon?
I think this is all done.
Hoopa, honestly, like, you know, I was really excited when Hoopa got released. It's like, mm-hmm. or announced rather. It's like, wow, I don't get to play Eldegoss anymore. You know, Hoopa's like a mythical. It's strong in, like, the normal games. It has to be strong in this game. Mm-hmm. And I was right about that. But I don't know. It doesn't. It's not as supportive as Eldegoss, and we're running mm-hmm. Trick and Shadow Ball at the moment
okay.
because either I'm bad at the portals or I think they're overrated.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's, you know, it's good. We're using it a lot, but I think Eldegoss is still really, really strong, and okay. We're trying to integrate both of them. Mm. And yeah, I feel like when you can manage to do that, like, that's when the meta will be formed.
Yeah, yeah. I have heard Portal's been, like, Portal's a bait, you know, like, picking that move, you don't need it, it's a little bit extra. Feather, as the being the top laner position, do you think Portal's a bait, or do you think that it's a worthwhile thing to have, you know, an instant port down as a top laner?
Yeah, so I think initially on a day one, we tried to play Portal every game, and both teams would usually run Portal as well, and it felt real present sometimes. It felt like sometimes it does a lot of things. Yeah, you can instant port down, you get a heal, go back to your base and come back full health.
Yeah,
but a lot of time, I think one of the bigger problems with Portal is the channel time too long, and in like reshot flight, like by time you get into the portal, you put dead.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't have the time to actually wait in the portal to transport you back to base. Yeah. So I think, and sometimes we can also troll people. For example, I play Charizard.
Charizard.
Yeah. When I throw someone up the air and then Dawn put a portal below me to help me, but it's not helping me. Send back to base and kind of port back because I'm up in the air.
Because you need to use the portal for damage as well. You need to, like, I don't know. And even calling out the position, sometimes you can't hear it, or, like, other times you can't get away from it, you know? Good. Yeah.
There's a lot of mini-max problem with portal and that kind of thing. And, it's like, feel like someone control your teammate sometimes. And, the charge timing for the portal before it start teleporting is a bit long as well. So,
true.
And also, it does not as strong a trick in lane. At level 4, if the enemy trick and you run portal, we feel that you actually lose out on the trade when you try to trade with them. Because trick is just more impressive. More shadowable.
That makes sense. So what we're saying is community's reaction to portals was an overreaction. Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. No, I kind of agree with you guys a little bit, too. I think they are a bit of a bait, but I think it is still a viable pick option on Hoopa. Like, by no means do I think it is strictly a bad pick. Like, I think a good Portal player can definitely still operate that Pokemon in a team comp, which is cool. It's going to join the ranks, I think, of very, very few Pokemon where both of their movesets are viable, right? I mean, we have, like, what, Venusaur, Hoopa, Lucario...
Mm-hmm.
End of list, like, where it is pretty cool, I guess, but we need the Pokemon to be viable before I start giving the movesets viability.
Duraludon.
Yes, Duraludon is on the way, so let's transition into that. Duraludon, Sulawoo, do you get this in the jungle, or do you have to give this up to Joe?
Oh, Joe's not going to play this. He's on Venusaur duty for the rest of his life. Come on, he plays on a surf event. There's no shot. I'm playing Duraludon.
I'm the green guy.
Oh. He's the green Digimon.
That's good.
I call me the Hulk. I smash people all day.
I mean, like, Duraludon looks really strong. I don't know, man. I don't know about that character. It's either going to be so broken that there's no way to shut it down, and, like, it's, like, Duraludon v. Duraludon, and, like, it's just four meat shields. Or it's going to be, like, oh, hello, I'm a new support jungler, which is going to just be worse Cinderace. I don't think it's going to be that,
I haven't seen, we have no, like, I guess, official stuff. We got some leaf maneuvers. We got that little, like, Japanese spotlight video as well that went through, like, all their move settings and stuff like that. What I find really interesting is people have talked about playing this Pokemon in jungle. For me, that just seems like a little bit of lost value, because don't you need to get the little purple orbs on the people when you hit them, and then you do the big burst damage with it? I don't know. To me, it just makes, like, a lot of sense to put that Pokemon in lane so you get those damage ticks, but maybe you'll just be able to get those really easily in jungle too. The range, like, seems insane.
Central is always a strong role, so you can never go wrong with that.
Yeah. That jungle experience is quite strong.
Yes.
Unless they nerf the shit. If they nerf it, then until then...
Fair enough. Okay, cool. Well, does anybody have any... I mean, we're really seeing into the future, but any more hot takes on Duraludon? Any more opinions of what could make this Pokemon good, bad? Any thoughts on that, Mon?
I think it's going to be nuts.
Really?
If we can, I think it's going to be nuts. If we can just, like, fly across the map with something.
Yeah, I think if you position well with that Pokemon...
Mm-hmm.
Like, the potential for burst is insane.
Right.
And I think there's a lot of synergies that are going to make it really, really, really strong. And it's an attacker and it's new, so it's gonna be broken. So like it's probably gonna be
maybe unless I get the Tijuai or something.
Tijuai sleeper broken. We know it. Sleeper broken.
We found there's been some Tijuai success in EU, but emphasis on some.
Drellon looks like it just looks really solid and looks tanky for an attacker.
Absolutely, it looks
really solid.
Gives me the idea of like a railgun style Pokemon, right? Opposite of mobile, definitely, but can deal out really, really heavy damage, which is exciting. However, we have Venusaur who's mobile and can deal out heavy damage and also never dies. So it really is good. I think this month might be a tough slot into like, what does it remove? I think is going to be the biggest question that Duraludon brings up. Unless it's played as a tank. Lush, you going to pick this Pokemon as tank?
Oh, if they let me.
Oh, he would love to.
Yeah.
He would love to.
I'm only allowed to play pink Pokemon, so it's not pink. So unfortunately, I can't play it.
We'll chip in for a skin for him.
Yeah, okay.
I think the big question on Duraludon is going to be, does the burst kill Venusaur? And if the answer is yes, then it's meta. That's pretty much how it's going to go.
That makes sense. Actually, that's a good question. My big question, now that we brought it up, is what kind of holoware they're going to put on that Pokemon, because I think that would be a really fun Pokemon to design.
Probably like a fridge door or a building.
Well, it could be. I think famous buildings, right? I want an Eiffel Tower Duraludon. I want a Canadian CN Tower.
I mean, we've got like Taj Mahal Crustle, right? Yes, I don't see a reason to come.
Yes, there is nothing.
They had Taj Mahal Crustle.
Oh, awesome.
There's no way.
Yeah, there is none. Uh-huh. All right, let's transition back to the scene a little bit. The competitive surrounding Pokemon Unite. Guys, obviously you are the number one spot for OCE right now, or a lot of people's top picks to take that world slot. And I know that you guys have been taking a bit of a break, but you're back to the grind. What does the grind look like for Grand Zero? Are you guys scrimming all the time? Are you trying to get ladder games all the time? Are you committing any time to VOD review, anything like that?
We play every day.
Okay.
You know, so we play about like 2, 3, 4 hours a day as a 5-stack.
So like 3
we
games.
Have made, yeah, it's actually so sad. It's so sad. Look, I'm just saying, the level of practice we get, like, look, we may as well just VPN to NA. Like, sad. But we're looking into like making VOD reviews and stuff a bit easier. We have a coach that's coming on. And that's going to be a big help.
Congrats. That's awesome.
And yeah. I'm not going to reveal that yet. Like, that's our secret weapon, I think. And, you know, we're really
glad to have the setting.
The biggest brain.
You're right. Well, chat, if you guess it, then Sulu has said that he would confirm it. So, chat, go ahead and guess who the coach is, and then they'll confirm. okay, cool. Well, that's awesome to see that your prep is, of course, excellent plugging coaching skills. Make sure you guys find it. That's awesome. But, guys, let's talk about this World's Qualifying Tournament. Everything, the Road to Worlds has been outlined. We're seeing these monthly tournaments, AOS Cup, and then it all ends in Regionals Finals. You guys have one slot. I've seen a lot of criticism currently on like Twitter and online. A lot of discourse is around this qualifying structure. A lot of people don't like it. A lot of people would like just to have championship points be the qualification system. If you get the most, that's the one that goes in. Other people like this tournament structure. I mean, in a game where meta changes, I think there's a lot of arguments to have a chance for a new team that actually adapts to a new meta, try to make it instead of a team that spikes a couple tournaments and then doesn't play. You know, there's always going to be shortcomings and stuff like that in any format. What are you guys' thoughts on this one, though? Do you like it? Do you not like it? Where do we stand?
I would prefer a different system. Honestly, would prefer a different system.
Sure.
Because I think it would be cool, like, say the team that gets the most championship points, maybe the regional final winner goes against them for the slot, you know, maybe they like guaranteed a spot.
So like a bypass, like the whole tournament.
Yeah.
And then,
but I'm used to this structure because I played a lot of ranked Pokemon VGC.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so it's the exact same structure for that. You know, you earn up your points and then there's a big tournament and then the winner of that tournament goes to the Worlds. And so I understand the system. I don't particularly love it. Like, how do you boys feel about it, Don? What's your take for coming from other competitive games?
Look, I mean, I think there's two ways we'll answer this, yeah? If we get the most competitive points and then we lose at the end, I won't like it. But, you know, if we win at the end, I'll like it, you know?
Right.
No, it's like whatever,
yeah.
That's fair.
It's just we just play and we win and then you go through. Like, I don't think, like, the way it works matters, you know?
Mm, yeah. I got you. Yeah.
It's the best will prevail, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I talked a lot with Goof about this. Like, he doesn't like it because, you know, of course, in NA, there's so many frets. You wake up, and then there's another contender on your door.
That's like, true.
The reality check is, like, that any given day, if they play bad in the final regionals, they don't go to Worlds. That is a chilling reality. And especially for us, we have one spot. There's no, you know, second chance. There's no, you know, semi-final or, like, if we choke in the loser's bracket for whatever reason, it's over.
That's true. It's nerve-wracking, but if you lose the conference playoffs, you don't go to the Super Bowl. If you don't, like, you know, like, the, every other, that's been my biggest takeaway with this is, like, I get Pokemon TCG doesn't work this way. You earn points. If you get enough points, then you qualify, you move on. If you get near the top of the ladder, you get your trip paid for. Great. I understand the formula, but this is a team game for the first off. So, like, they're sending five people instead of just, like, one person, an individual. I don't know. And like I said, I'm not a top team player. I play the game competitively, but not to the level of you guys or anything like that. And I'm a spectator. So, at the end of the day, I like this format. If there is one positive thing about this format, though, it's going to make these regional finals hype as hell. Like, these tournaments are going to be so exciting.
The most important, like, and you see, look, maybe, I think that is honestly, like, the reality of, like, what games should do. The hype is there. Mm-hmm. Regionals matter a lot, like, a lot to a lot of people. And, like, two, maybe even only one team will take away a crown, get to go to London, get to prove and show what the region's about. And, like, all you can do is just, you know, do your hard work, prep for the day. Yeah. Show up on game day and you know you win, and like that there's nothing else you can do.
That's true. I mean, in the end, like, it what it's doing is just making more tournaments than just Worlds feel like big grand wins. I mean, if there was just like a bunch of people qualified for Worlds, all these other tournaments would not feel that big. I mean, already just like these February finals, March finals, like, they're not that, like, big and glamorous, but now these regional finals will really feel like big title wins. Like, they're major tournament wins, and I find that really exciting, but I can understand in a player's shoes that it is a very stressful situation.
Yeah, 100%.
For sure.
Yeah. Okay. Well, guys, like I said, you are that of most people's predicted number one spot. A lot of people think that you are going to be the team representing OCE in London for these Worlds Finals. So I would love to see you guys there. And you're going to be playing against a lot of different teams that you do not have familiarity playing with. That still wasn't the right way to say that. but you guys are going to be playing against different metas, different teams, things like that. When do you think the prep is really going to start for, like, all of these other compositions? Do you have to practice against score comp, kind of the hybrid comp that Korea does, some of the more aggressive stuff that South America plays? Do you have to start practicing for that now in terms of, like, our teams playing that? Or what are you looking at?
So we already verse that stuff because a lot of the time we do get dodged on our servers and we get thrown into the Asian servers.
Ah, I see. Okay.
So we are versing that stuff a lot. We verse Galaxy quite a bit on Ladder Rack, guys. Like, I think we come across these teams.
You just try to scream Galaxy at this point.
We play score comp against a lot. You know, we haven't seen Brazil much. Actually, no, we have.
Who did we verse on Red Ping yesterday? Who was that?
Nobody.
Just random Red Ping game.
Shout out Random Gaming. Love you guys. That squad as well. Okay, cool. So you guys have tons of practice playing against comps then. All right. Well, then let me ask you this. What comps are you excited to play against? What kind of, like, if you were looking at all these other regional metas, we have a very team fight focused NA. We got a little more flip focused EU. Definite score comps in Asia. And then, like I said, we have some more scrappy, aggressive team fighting in South America. What, like, are you guys most excited to play against then? If you have experience, what is, like, your most fun game when you head in?
It's definitely when Greedence invades Zulu. That's really fun.
Yeah, big good time for everybody else.
Dude, I swear to God, man.
Four people are pumped.
These Japan squirrels?
I'm excited to play against the Brazilians on even ping as well.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Yeah,
we love fighting. You know, we want to bring a show. We'll throw big punches. it's definitely a show. Awesome. It's definitely a show when we play against them.
Awesome.
So,
that's so good to hear. Well then, guys, what teams are you looking forward to playing against?
GG.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. Often.
Yes.
I want to play against the best, you know.
Yeah.
All of them, man.
I respect them a lot as a team. Everything.
Yeah, gaming guys. Okay, hard mode, not GG. What other teams are you guys excited to play?
I think there's definitely... There's at least three. I think we definitely want to play against Galaxy and Green Ping. Like, I truly believe Iroas is the best player in the world. Yeah, so with Iroas being the best player in the world, I really want to face him.
Wow, okay, shout out.
That guy, he's on another level, man. Like, I don't even understand. I think, really, we just want to play against the best. I think I can speak for all the boys. Like, we seek... the challenge, like playing games against people who are meant to lose to us, is not as fun as playing games as underdogs. Every game we go against TTV or against Galaxy, the comms, the atmosphere, everything changes to another level. And like, I wish we could show you guys that. Like, it's a complete transformation. I hope we can bring that on the world's stage, because that I think, yeah, like, you know, we have a certain energy about us when we play against these top teams as an underdog, and like, we come to win.
Oh, that's going to be fantastic. I think that everybody's going to be bringing that, no matter what. Like, GG is going to be bringing that same energy. Whoever makes it out of the gauntlet that is EU is going to have that same energy, right? If you make it to Worlds, that's it. You did it, and like, I think it's going to be our first final chance at even footing. So that's what it's all coming forward to, guys. We're going to be trying to cover all this stuff. I'm so excited to see you guys play through the rest of these tournaments. So in the future, so just good luck in that March tournament. I know you guys have already qualified for that top 16. Excited to see you and some of these other teams in the OC region battle it out yet again. We're going to be bringing the show to a little bit of a close. I've already wasted enough of your time on this show. But before we end, there's a couple of questions I'd like to ask everybody. With this scene getting more competitive, more people picking up the game, more people taking it seriously and trying to find a little bit of a competitive nature to it, a lot of people are picking up 5 stacks. A lot of people want to be like Ground Zero. They want to find their success in tournament grinding, want to grow up to be just like you guys. So I'd love for this podcast to be a place where they can learn a little bit, learn what it takes to be one of the best. So I'd just like to ask you guys, each of you gets a chance to answer this question, just one tip that you'd have for a new competitive player. They found a 5-stack, they're starting to grind. You can make it specific to your role as a tip. You don't have to, though. What's one tip that can make a good player go to a great player? Lush, why don't we start with you?
Pay attention to your team.
Okay.
Pay attention to your team. That's my tip. I like, just they exist. Acknowledge them.
Ugh,
you know,
unfortunately,
just acknowledge them.
Yes.
Yeah, like, they're there. And if you are a tank, like, know that you're not the highlight player. You're not supposed to go in and get the pentakill. Like, you want to help them do that, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, just be there for your team, you know. Give them hugs. That's my tip.
Oh, a pink Pokemon man. Lush just says give him hugs. I love that. Okay, Joe, how about you? You got any tip to make a player go from good to great?
Just enjoy what you're playing, man. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
Even if you have to play meta, it doesn't matter. As long as you enjoy it.
But
if you want to be competitive, you got to be in it to win it. That's how I see it.
I love Joe. So
just keep the grind on and you might succeed. You never know, boys.
Man, I'm glad you guys said it was Joe with the best and vibes, because you could not have been more right. I feel amazing right now. I'm going to go and skip outside in the snow. This is great.
He's so chill.
I love it. Feather, how about you? Do you got any tips that can make a player go from good to great?
Buy a $5 capture card, record your game, and look at them.
Okay.
And learn from your mistake, pretty much.
Good point.
Watch your games back. Pay attention to your team. Be happy and watch your reviews, okay? We got a really good rounded options here. Don, why don't you go next?
So the only person you have complete control over is yourself. Mm. So whether you're playing solo queue or with your 5-stack, like, and you lose, don't blame anyone other than yourself, okay? Mm. Because you are the only person that can, you know, do perfect by you. And you will eventually get better, and then, you know, you can discuss things outside of games. But, you know, every game is your own fault. Like, you win because of you, you lose because of you. Yeah,
absolutely.
That's all I can say.
I
don't blame.
I love that. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Go off, Don. All right, Silu, why don't you round us out on this advice?
Yeah, I think to round us out, look, if you want to be a competitive player, I think that there's one thing: you need to have a passion. And if you don't have like a want to play the game, or you don't enjoy it or whatever, maybe that's not for you. But if you love the game, or if you enjoy like the thrill of playing against the best, seek out the best competition, never avoid it at any cost. And you should always just push yourself to your very limit. Like every game, do everything you can. Like never hold back or think to yourself, oh, I wasn't trying or anything, because you're just going to kick yourself in the shin later. Like just be the best you can be. And you put your best foot forward, and you're going to get there one day.
I love that. You hear that, OCE? Stop dodging this team on ladder. Play the best.
Stop dodging this on ladder, baby.
Awesome. All right, guys. Well, that's bringing us to the end of the show. I want to give each of you guys a chance, though, to plug whatever you want to, sell out, shout out, whoever. This is your chance to just absolutely farm those interactions. Lush, why don't you say where people can find you, where they can follow you, all that stuff.
Okay, so yeah, I have a YouTube channel, Lush, just like, you know, my name. If you want to find me or even stuff about the team, I post a lot of team videos there, so come check me out on the tube.
Awesome, very cool. Joe, anywhere where people could find you on social media?
I usually stream on Twitch now, so I'm just getting into that.
Cool.
And as you can see, I'm in the Twitch channel, so you can see my name. But yeah, I'm always available to talk. If you need help with tips, just DM me on Discord. I have me on Twitch, just come by. I'll happily help you guys.
Awesome.
So sweet.
The smile on his face. Love that, Feather.
Yeah, I'm actually smiling.
Oh, yeah.
I used to stream, but no longer. But yeah, I also rarely post on Twitter these days. Yeah, I'm just not too active on social media, I would say, but
is it Discord, yeah. Andy?
Right,
yeah,
enough.
You can. I mean, if you've got any like questions, you want to say hi, want to play games with me, given your OCE, please do not message your EU. I do not want to be on your server. I'm sorry. yeah.
All right. That's my favorite shout out of all time.
Yeah, I'm happy to talk to anyone.
Please do not invite me.
Yeah. I like the game a lot. I like to pick up a game. I like to tell my team I'm gonna swap role every 2 minutes. Yeah, so I really enjoy the process.
Keep them on their toes. Love that. How about you, Don? Where can people find you on the internet and anything you want to plug?
I stream incredibly occasionally on Twitch TV DonOW. My Twitter is Don_Overwatch, and I'm very inactive on both.
All right. Well, make sure you follow, because it's the anticipation of social media. That's what people want. They want the slow burn. Absolutely. I believe it. Suluwu, how about you?
Well, I'm probably like the inverse of everyone except Lush. Like, I'm very active on Twitter. You want hot takes or promotional content, come check me out there on Suluwu. Suluwu. I also stream on Twitch. I mold the whole game. I generally make okay plays. Have a fun time. Just come chat with me. We can chat about many things. But yeah, just that's where I stream. I stream on Twitch and on Twitter.
All right. Make sure you go follow these guys. Watch everything that they have. Seriously, there's so much good content with this team. Also, you guys should have plugged Ground Zero at this point, but I'll do it. Make sure to send me that paycheck, guys. No problem. Make sure you go follow Ground Zero on Twitter and all that. This team's repped by an org. Make sure you support them. Show other orgs that this scene is ripe, and we have a lot of really good teams to play.
We have the best org. Absolutely. The best org.
Yeah, true.
At Ground Zero, it's on Twitter.
Everybody else is playing catch up right now. You guys get a bonus for every time you say Ground Zero, because I'll say it a few more times if we need to. I'll help you out.
Cannot confirm.
Logitech and Astro in there.
Absolutely. Awesome, guys. Well, thank you so much for joining the show. This has been Overdunk. You can find this show and another podcast and a ton of commentary video over at the Unite Mics YouTube, guys. Please go tune into that, subscribe there. It helps us out a ton. And also, this podcast is on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, pretty much everywhere where you can find it. It helps out the show a ton if you just hit that subscribe button and rate it 5 stars. So if you could just help out that show in that way, it's free, it's easy. If you're listening already, help me out with a little bit there. But guys, thank you so much. Good luck, Ground Zero, in the monthly finals, going in that number 1 seed. A very exciting tournament coming up. Good luck to all the competitors playing in the open qualifiers this upcoming weekend. It's a really exciting time to be a part of the Unite community. But for Ground Zero, for Unite Mics, I have been Zoinks, they have been Players, and we'll see you all next time. Goodbye.
catch 'em all.